This podcast is brought to you by SMC. Money wise, be wise.
Hello and welcome to Money Control. This is Prakhar Sachdev and you are tuned into On The Ball, Money Control's sports podcast. Today I have with me Dustin Yard and Pranav Nair, and the three of us will preview the top Premier League matches from Game Week 3. It's great to have you, Dustin and Pranav, on the podcast.
It's good to be here, Prakhar.
Hi, Prakhar.
Okay, so Game Week 3 has a table-topping clash between Liverpool and Arsenal. Liverpool and Arsenal both have won their opening two fixtures, so it's going to be one mouth-watering clash when Liverpool welcomes Arsenal at Anfield. So what can we expect, Dustin, from Arsenal? And just to be clear, I am kind of outnumbered here because I am a Liverpool fan and Pranav and Dustin both are hardcore Arsenal fans, so it will be fun to listen to them. So yeah, Dustin.
Well, Arsenal enter this season on a high compared to last season when we lost our first two fixtures. So this time we coming in with full of confidence and on the back of a really good transfer window wherein, you know, they strengthened almost all the areas that they were looking for. So, I mean, me personally, I'm entering this game with an air of optimism as compared to previous years too, because I'm excited to see how Arsenal tackle this game. I would be more in favor of Emery going head on and trying his own philosophy and trying to play out from the back as they've been doing now and, you know, work around the press. At the same time, I wouldn't be too surprised if he goes for a five-man defense and just tries to contain the game looking for a draw or whatever. But on the whole, I approach this game with an air of optimism.
And Pranav, what about you?
So what I think is, contrary to what Dustin thinks, I think that Arsenal should go for a back five and also play a defensive midfielder right in front of him. So even if you consider Arsenal as title challengers, nobody would expect, even Manchester City for that matter, wouldn't expect to come to Anfield and win. So why not contain and try to attack with the front three that Arsenal has, Pepe, Aubameyang and Lacazette. Try and play them on the counter. That is what I think that Arsenal should do.
You are saying that the Arsenal's costliest signing ever, Pepe, will start against Liverpool at Anfield.
My personal ambition for him is that he makes his full debut at Tottenham and scores a hat-trick if possible.
Yeah.
So, I'd want that. But even if he starts, I think he'll be a great addition because, as I said, if Arsenal just try and contain and play them on the counter, it'll be really difficult to handle for Liverpool's wing-backs.
But I think going by recent history, the previous game, Reece Nelson didn't have an exactly, you know, a tremendous first half. And you saw it was a half-time change when he brought in Pepe. And Pepe looked sharp in that game. So I think if you're going to spend 72 million on a player, you have to call him up for these big games.
At some point
of
the time.
Deliver.
Yes, and there was a reason that I was calling the Arsenal-Liverpool match a mouth-watering fixture, because as I was running through previous 6-7 matches, the scorecard of the previous 6-7 matches between the two sides, here's how the scorecard reads: 5-1, 1-1, 3-3, 4-0, 3-1, 3-4 and 3-3. And the only goalless draw was way back in 2015. So needless to say, it's going to be a really high scoring fixture, but it's difficult for Arsenal to defeat Liverpool at Anfield, considering that Liverpool are undefeated in their last 39 home matches in the Premier League, and
records are meant to be broken.
Okay, let's see. Yes, records are meant to be broken, but the only problem, the goalkeeper. Although Adrian is doing his level best for whatever skill sets that he brings on the table to make up for the absence of Alisson, but
I think he provided an assist in the previous
game. You're trying to rub salt on the wounds. It was a howler, to say the least, but yeah, as a shot stopper, he is doing his best. And on top of it, Liverpool have scored at least 2 goals in the league in past many matches, and Liverpool have scored 22 goals in their last 6 home matches against Arsenal. And there was this interesting fact that I came across, that ever since the trio of Sadio Mane, Roberto Firmino and Mohamed Salah have come together, the three have always scored against Arsenal. So I believe that the odds are tilted in Liverpool's favour.
But when you consider the fact that you had all these records, right? But the last 2 scorers against you were Danny Ings and Olivier Giroud. Doesn't that say something about Liverpool's defense and all these records being irrelevant right now?
It's the problem with the goalkeeper. That's what I
don't think Giroud's goal was the problem of the goalkeeper. I think it was Chelsea putting a good move forward. And you don't think that Aubameyang, Lacazette and Pepe are capable of doing that?
They can, but Virgil van Dijk being Virgil van Dijk, the one of the best defenders in the league and in the world as of now. So it will take some efforts by Arsenal's front three to overcome the solid defensive partnership of Joe Matip and Virgil van Dijk.
I think another interesting feature of this game will be how it will be played out on the wings. Because we've seen a lot of games dominated in midfield. The Arsenal-Burnley game was mainly won in the middle by, you know, that Dani Ceballos-Willock performance. But this, I foresee, will be a game that will be played mostly on the wings with exciting players. You have Aubameyang, you have Pepe or Nelson, whoever's there from Arsenal. Then you have Salah, you have a Mane who will be playing on the wings for Liverpool. And let's not forget the Liverpool wing-backs who are notorious for the amount of assists they provide. And this is an area for concern, I think, for Arsenal because we aren't the strongest at the full-back position right now. We have Hector Bellerin and Kieran Tierney waiting in the wings. I mean, if they were there, it would have been a different game right now. But I see that vulnerability for Arsenal. Wherein if the Liverpool press is able to get beyond the wingers, then, you know, you never know with the crosses coming in and the indecisiveness in the middle, what might happen.
Anyways, what's your prediction for the match, Dustin?
Well, I think Arsenal could nick it 2-1, but that's really being optimistic. But, you know, I would feel bad predicting anything else apart from that. So I'm going for a 2-1 Arsenal victory.
Pranav, you?
I think Arsenal will score the first goal. And then Liverpool will try to attack and then Pepe and Aubameyang will take advantage of that and it'll be 3-0 to Arsenal.
Okay, that's way too optimistic.
I thought I was being optimistic.
Yeah, that's way too optimistic. Okay, and I believe Liverpool will win this match 4-0. Moving on from Liverpool-Arsenal to Manchester United and they play Crystal Palace at Old Trafford. Dustin, what's your take on the match?
Well, I think United, speaking more from the Manchester United point of view, they were brought back to reality after their 4-1 victory against Chelsea, which that margin could be misleading. Chelsea did have a good game. And Wolves, you know, held them really well despite going 1-0 down. And that was a spectacular goal, which we saw Ruben Neves just thump into the back of the net. But on the whole, I think United do enter this game as a stronger side. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, we are looking forward to a big response from Paul Pogba. I think he took a lot of the responsibility from that loss, of course, missing that penalty, etc. Overall, it should be an easy game for United, considering Palace's form.
So, for me, what I think is the main talking point in this match is Wilfried Zaha. The whole match depends upon how Wilfried Zaha plays. If Wilfried Zaha puts up even an 80% performance, then I think it'll be trouble for United. Like we saw in the last match, United defense is not that great. And when you put up a trickster like Wilfried Zaha, and if he puts in a good cross and you have Benteke who you can bank on to head the ball in. So I think if Palace try and play on the counter, play it out to Zaha and Zaha puts it in for Benteke, maybe they could upset United.
Okay. You are still not convinced with United's backline, considering that they have invested so much, they have bought in Wan-Bissaka and now they have the costliest defender in the world in form of Harry Maguire.
But then they've not gelled together as well. I think it'll take time. It'll take at least half a season for them to understand how they play together and they still have a lot of weak points. Like Harry Maguire, I wouldn't say he's the best defender, but he's a good defender. But his company Lindelof is young. Maybe he'll take a little more time and then both of them to get together and form a good combination. That too also will take time. So, there's something that Palace can exploit in that match.
Okay, so any areas of concerns for both the teams?
Well, I would back Maguire to win the duel with Benteke if you're looking at it that way. Because he's physically very good and strong in the air also.
That will be one good physical duel.
One good duel. Another interesting aspect from this game will be both these teams' strength is the counter-attack.
Okay.
So, area of concern for me will be with is will Manchester United, who will be expected to have more of the ball considering it's a home fixture also, will they be able to break through Palace's defensive lines? We've seen Rashford play a few delightful passes feeding off from the striker. So, I mean, if they are unable to break through and if both the teams are just waiting to watch where the gaps will open, I find that as a problem with United. They've not shown that ability to crack open defences very easily.
Okay. Predictions, guys?
Even though I'm very optimistic for a good Palace performance, I think United will nick it 2-0.
Okay, I'm going for a 3-0 victory for Manchester United.
Alright, so moving on from Manchester United to Manchester City, the current champions. They travel to Bournemouth and they face Bournemouth. Let's talk about Bournemouth taking on Manchester City and what do we have there. So, here's what I came across. Forget what Manchester City does at Etihad. That's a story of its own. But here's what Manchester City's away record looks like. They have won their last 8 away matches and they have kept 6 clean sheets of those 8 away matches. And City are averaging an average of 2.5 goals in their last 3 Premier League games. So no doubt City started well, started with 4-0 thumping win, and then there was a 2-2 draw in which again they started well. So they are on a good goal scoring spree and this should continue against Bournemouth. Only problem is that they are kind of conceding goals. The first goal that they conceded against Tottenham, which was so unlike City.
It was Henderson's fault completely.
Eric Lamela scored a goal out of nowhere. So, which is very unlike Liverpool or a Manchester City defense. So, seeing Bournemouth defeating Manchester City will be way too much.
Also, we have to keep in mind, Bournemouth have played 2 games against the newly promoted side this season. It was a 1-1 draw against Sheffield United and then they managed to win 2-1 against Aston Villa. And now you're coming up against last season's champions. So, it's going to be a tough adjustment for them also to make approaching this game. But they showed some promising signs, especially in their victory against Villa. They went up 2-0 inside the first 12 minutes and then they were able to hold on to that lead despite conceding one late goal. But it was a strike from distance. So if they are able to nick an early goal from somewhere or even just manage to keep City back, I think City will be under more pressure to respond to the 2-2 draw than Bournemouth. So it would be make for an interesting fixture to watch.
Okay, so Dustin, this is what I noticed, that Manchester City have not been playing Fernandinho, their defensive midfielder, for past 2 matches, for the first 2 matches, and this I only came to know because he gave me 0 points in my fantasy team. So any reason why Fernandinho has not been playing, considering that he's so solid in, as a defensive midfielder?
Well, I think Fernandinho has been an amazing player for City so far. He's provided them with that link and a real good shield in front of their defense. The reason they haven't played him, I guess, is because he returned late from the Copa America, and also it's Rodrigo who has been keeping him out of the side now. Remember, Rodrigo was, they've paid heavily also for Rodrigo, and he's seen as a long-term replacement for Fernandinho, who's pretty ahead in his age now. So I think it's Rodrigo's good performances that have kept Fernandinho out of the side, but I guess more I could expect Fernandinho to also turn up somewhere in center of defense in case there are some injuries.
That's
there.
Interesting.
So that could happen this season.
Okay, so predictions. What would scoreline look like?
Well, I'm seeing a 3-0 victory for City. Just hoping Bournemouth are able to nip a goal in and provide some entertainment there.
Pranav, what about you? Mr. Optimistic Pranav.
I'll say 4-0 to City.
Okay, and I go with a 4-5. I will go with a final victory for Manchester City over Bournemouth. From City to a team that is struggling, team which has got only 1 point from its opening 2 matches, it's Chelsea, and Chelsea are playing away and they take on Norwich. So what's in store with between Norwich and Chelsea?
So with Chelsea, what we've seen is they played like the previous match score doesn't reflect the real things that happened in the match. In the first match against United, they played really well in the midfield and you could sense that they might score a goal, but then United attacked them on the counter and scored 4 goals, and that looked very one-sided. But I think that Chelsea have a really good side. Apart from their striker, I guess, they have a problem there. They don't have anyone to provide the end product. So Olivier Giroud is a good striker, but is he a top-class, world-class striker? I don't think so.
World Cup winner though, Olivier Giroud.
World Cup winner, but how many goals did he score?
Without a shot on target, we must keep in mind.
So what I think is, if Chelsea are able to get their wingers to score, like in the previous match they got Mason Mount to score, then they have a chance. Because Giroud can be a great provider. He can, if you play a long ball to him, he can put it down. He can play a good assist.
He's a box player basically.
He's a good target man. So maybe they can try that out, because nothing else seems to work for them in the attack. And in their defense too, Dan Christensen and Kurt Zouma, they are an alright pair, but are they a top 4 team pair? I don't think so. So that'll be an area of concern for Chelsea.
And correct me guys if I'm wrong, but Chelsea haven't played that much of Willian in the first two matches.
No, Willian has been coming on as a substitute in both of them.
But he has overtaken like Eden Hazard's number. So I guess he's, by the time Chelsea gets a long-term replacement for Eden Hazard, Willian is supposed to fill that gap. So
what has happened there is that Lampard had loaned the one of Mason Mount to Derby when he was Derby's coach. Mm-hmm. And he has great confidence in Mason Mount right now. So he's been playing him ahead of Willian and all the other wingers. Mason Mount has also provided the final. He scored a goal.
Yes.
So I think it's a justified selection, and being a youngster, there's that little bit extra enthusiasm that the team needs.
Okay.
So maybe that is the reason why he's playing ahead of Willian.
But considering that the pressure that Chelsea will be in to finally notch a win, their first win of the season, so will that work in favour of Willian, and will Willian start in this match?
From what I've understood from what Lampard said, I think he's not under any pressure, because he's clarified that he'll require at least a season to build the team. So I think Lampard's under the impression that he can take this season, figure out what's best for his team. So I don't think he'll be under any pressure to play someone he doesn't want to play.
Okay.
Speaking about this game though, I think like after the Liverpool-Arsenal game, this is the game to watch for me from this weekend.
That's
because Norwich have provided entertainment so far. They were part of a 4-1 loss to Liverpool, but that's not to say because they sat back and defended. They showed a willingness to attack, which we don't see often against the big four sides.
Yeah.
And then they were part of a 3-1 victory against Newcastle, and that was a storyline by itself, with Timo Pukki announcing himself onto the big stage with a hat-trick. So what I've seen from their first two games is that willingness to attack. They aren't going to be like, okay, just because we're newly promoted, we're going to sit back and watch. They are here to show their brand of football. And the Chelsea-Leicester City draw in second half was, if not entertaining, nothing else. You know, both the teams going for it, end-to-end football. So I think this game, if it could have a slow first half where both teams are just feeling each other out. But I think overall it could be an entertaining game, because both these sides are, you know, they are shaping up to attack. Lampard also has shown that he's not going to just wait back. Except the Chelsea of old has not appeared so far, you know, with parking the bus, etc. So both these teams are going to go out to attack, and that's what I'm looking forward to from this game.
And Norwich will certainly have the home advantage. So
yeah.
So predictions for this match.
Well, as much as I think Norwich will score, I think it will be a 3-2 victory to Chelsea.
Okay, Pranav?
I think Norwich will take this match 2-1.
Okay, I predict Chelsea winning this match 2-1. From Chelsea to another London club, that's Tottenham. And Tottenham, at their home, they welcome Newcastle. How's this match going to pan out?
Well, Tottenham, they've got 4 points now from their first two games. Yeah. And I think they'll take a lot of heart from the City victory, although they were lucky thanks to the new rules and VAR, which has been good to Tottenham so far.
We must point very out. Kind
yeah.
in the Champions League last season and against City.
But they've shown an ability to scrape out results, and especially against City, you know, to find the goals from likely sources. And I don't think Newcastle might provide that much of a threat to Tottenham. So, you know, I see it as a straightforward Tottenham victory in this game.
So from Newcastle's side, what we have is a new pairing of new front two of Joelinton and Miguel Almiron. There's been a lot of pressure on Joelinton because they've signed him for 40 million. And in his previous club also, he's not scored that many goals to warrant a 40 million fee. So what they'll be looking for is Almiron to do something special, because he's shown that a little bit of flair that's required. Even against Arsenal, he ran through a couple of defenders many times. So maybe they're hoping that pair clicks somehow. I don't know how they'll get them to click, but they have to hope. Especially after the departure of Rafa Benitez, they've been looking down and out. And the club has also been in conflict with the supporters, with many supporters not buying season tickets and not coming to the matches. So they'll be looking for something in this match, and they'll be really desperate, and the pressure will be on Joelinton, and I don't think he'll be able to deliver, considering the fact that he's not been able to deliver till now. And then an additional pressure of the 40 million price tag, plus they're facing Tottenham is no walkover. So I think Tottenham have this match in the bag even before it has started.
Okay, so it looks like an out and out win for Tottenham in this match against Newcastle, but still, what will be the scoreline?
This is very difficult for me to say. 2-0 to Tottenham.
Okay.
I'm going for a 3-0 to Tottenham, okay, considering the home advantage also.
Okay, I predict a 2-0 victory for Tottenham. So from preview, we come to the fantasy part of our podcast, where we give you guys some interesting players, interesting names of interesting players to choose from. So what fantasy team we have in store in this week?
Well, starting from the back, I'll touch on the goalkeepers and defense. I would go for Ederson in goal because notoriously he's known for providing assists sometimes. And with City going up against Bournemouth, I would expect Bournemouth to try and press. So Ederson in goal would be a good choice. And in defense, I would want Van Bissaka there because I think he's leading the charts when it comes to tackles and he's up against his former side. So, you know, he just would want to justify his big money move. I would go for Van Bissaka, Emerson because he has shown a lot of promise going forward for Chelsea, the willingness to shoot. Robertson because playing against Arsenal, a weaker left back, he could just be providing some assists there. And Lucas Digne in defense.
Okay. And what about midfield, Pranav?
So, I'll go with Mohamed Salah, Raheem Sterling and James Maddison. The reason for all of them being that all of them can provide goals and score goals, so it's a good
and
choice.
Assist.
Yeah, so it's a good choice to have in your midfield.
Okay. My pick for the forwards are Harry Kane. Harry Kane is a slow starter to a Premier League season, but he scored 2 goals in the very first match. Then Sergio Aguero, another proven goal scorer, and Marcus Rashford. With Lukaku going, Marcus Rashford now will start as a center forward more often. And against a defense of Crystal Palace, I guess Marcus Rashford stands a chance of scoring goals. So yeah, my front three will be Harry Kane, Sergio Aguero and Marcus Rashford. This was our fantasy team. Thank you, Dustin, and thank you, Pranav, for joining us on this episode of On The Ball.
And finally, a word on a subscription product. Money Control Pro offers curated market data, stock analysis and trading recommendations. You can now subscribe to Money Control Pro for just ₹289 for 1 year as part of our independence offer. Use code FREEDOM. The offer is valid until 31st August for Android and desktop users. Log on to Money Control today to subscribe.
If you guys have any queries, please send us a mail on mcpodcast@nw18.com. I repeat, it's mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news and views, stay logged on to moneycontrol.com. Thanks for listening in.